particular, I'd like to thank Zheng Han. He helped me to get back to this field, you know. And a person like to wandering around, you know, yeah. For the last about 10 years, you know, I was working in string theory on the non-commutative geometry, which actually was motivated by Hong. Also, recently there are, you know, amazing connection between string theory and the condensed matter system. For example, integral string chains, and also fractional in the quantum Hall effect, which actually is related to the rotating PC and so on. It appears at some corner of box string theory. Personally, I have a secret thought, which is that eventually the knowledge we learn from strongly correlated system should be very helpful for our understanding of the fundamental laws of nature. Okay. This is why I still try to keep working on both sides and establish some bridges or connections between condensed matter physics and string theory. Okay, so today my talk is grade group gauge invariants and topological order. Topological order I'm going to talk about will be mainly topological order for the abelian case. However, at the end of the talk, I will mention the generalization to non-abelian topological order. For mathematicians, you know, the abelian statistics looks almost trivial. But however, we know that the physics actually even for
just keep talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speak loudly.
Okay. Yeah. However, we feel that actually even for abelian topological order, there are still a lot to understand. Okay. Yeah. For example, yesterday, Michael mentioned how to see the topological orders are emerging. Sorry.
Keep talking.
Okay, yeah. Emerges,
yeah.
Is still a very important question. Yeah, to work on that question, I think we need actually to better to start with abelian topological orders, which are the simplest case. Okay. So another thing which I want to emphasize is the importance of the constraint coming from the gauge invariants. So in the second, I will start from some simple motivation, then some review of the known stories. This is for the first half, and for the last half, I'm going to talk about a recent work using a discrete algebra to classify or to describe abelian topological orders and discuss the possible generalization to non-billion large orders. Of course, for large quantum computing, non-billion large order is essential. But however, to have a better understanding of the non-billion large order, I would like to first start with the billion one. Large order in condensed matter physics is something new because it represents some order or some phase or some state of matter which are not described by the Landau's theory. Of course, we began to realize the existence of orders that are beyond Landau's theory was due to experiments. Nature taught us, okay, about the topological phases or topological matter. The first known example is the fractional quantum Hall effect. To give you an overall view of the topological order, we meant they are novel phases at zero temperature, and the order is formed due to thermal, due to quantum effects rather than thermal effects. They are beyond the Landau's theory, because in Landau's theory, the order phase should have symmetry breaking. Also, they can be described by a local parameter, order parameter, or order parameters. but for topological order, there's no symmetry breaking, and there's no local order parameter description. Also, what caught our eyes at first, actually, was the feature of the fractional quantum Hall effect, in the sense that there is a topological number that is robust against weak orders and interactions. I was trained as a particle physicist. When I was young, I liked particle physics because I feel that in terms of the condensed matter language, it's a clean system. At that time, I hate to hear about impurities. So I listened to a colloquium of Saulus at Seattle in early 80s, I found, yeah, this is interesting because impurity would not, at least a weak disorder, would not change the main feature of the system. So also at that time, Saulus advocated about the topological invariants, and I was working on topological stuff in Henry theory. So I feel that, I would be happy to be in this field. I would be happier if I could do some work in this field. In addition to fractional quantum Hall effect, there are other theoretical models, such as frost-treated spin models, or the superfluid quantum phase transition between superfluid and not insulators, and so on. There, in two dimensions, there also will appear the so-called fractionalization of quantum numbers. Okay, so as an example, we can talk about properties of fractional quantum Hall effects. means the black number is fractional. In mathematics, we always have the, we know that the black number has to be an integer. So, however, in the fractional quantum Hilbert effect case, this result we measure compared to the integer quantum Hilbert effect, it seems that we have some I call it exotic topological number, which is robust against weak disordered interactions. Also, from the integer quantum Hilbert effect, we know that in this system, two-dimensional system, there is a very close relationship between the Burke and the Abt. But for my talk, basically, I will skip this part. Later, it was discovered that the fractional quantum Hilbert system actually has a very interesting property, which distinguishes it from the ordinary knowledge of the condensed matter system. Namely, we have a topology-dependent ground state degeneracy. Now, this exists actually even for the abelian topological order. Of course, now we know that ground state degeneracy is crucial for non-abelian anions. As I've mentioned, for the fractional quantum Hilbert effect, from Laughlin's work, we know that actually they are fractionally charged quasi particles. So in general, we can have some other quantum numbers, such as part number, to be fractionalized in topological phases. Also, quasi particles have the so-called fractional statistics, which is neither Bose nor fermion. So so what's important is to see whether there exist some other examples of the topological phase, which has at least one or several properties of this. Of course, now for the topological order, we may define to be the following, namely the effective low energy theory is described by topological quantum theory TQFT, or it's a relatively two-dimensional conformal field theory, and so on. Mathematically, they can be described by the modular tensor category. However, I feel that we still to, need to have more structures to define a concrete topological phase. So first, let me start with the fractional whole conductance, which is a topological invariant, which in many cases can be used to characterize, to describe the system and partially characterize the system. So this is related to my work in 85. With Niu and Zalas. Before that, Zalas and the collaborator have already found the interpretation of quantum integrally quantize whole conductance as a topological invariant in K space. K here is the so-called quasi-momentum when the system is clean and put on a lattice. However, for general two-dimensional many-body system, because of the existence of impurity and also the interactions among electrons, KIPT quantum number does not exist. So we need to have a more general way to understand the topological origin of the quantized whole conductance. So at that time, what we suggest is to theoretically is to consider the response of the system to boundary conditions. So let us consider quite a general Hopping Hamiltonian, for example, on a lattice. We do not impose the translation invariants and so on, and namely we allow impurities, also we allow interactions. So however, we can introduce two twist fates for this system, namely as usual, we may consider start with periodic boundary conditions. I start with a square lattice. Then somewhere we put a cut. Then we identify the opposite side. This is the usual periodic boundary conditions. Then we introduce new parameters when the particle hop, or the electrons hop across the fixed cup. We change the hopping parameter. Whatever it is before, we add a phase here. Or and for the other cup, we introduce a parameter like this. And we do not change all other things inside the bird. What's the changes only there? Then we may consider these two parameters as parameters of that defines the system. Namely, the Hamiltonian now actually becomes dependent on these trace phases. These are the so-called trace boundary conditions. Then we can play the game of the Berry phase. Namely, we consider the ground state of the system, which may be dependent on the this trace phase. Then we form this quantity. This is the partial derivative with respect to trace phase. This gives us the various connection in the theta space. Because in two dimensions, theta x and the theta y are both, we have two such parameters, which both are the periodic. So then we can consider the integral of the field strength, because very field strength over the parameters, then we will get a topological number. The physical understanding of this integration can be the following. Suppose in space, we have an infinitesimal E field pointing to arbitrary direction. Then the trace phase will change in time. high on the city forest. If the ratio of the components of the E field is not rational, actually, after a long time, the system will, the trajectory of the system will become dense in the, on the city torus. Then we take average. Okay, anyway, the point here is that, if we take this average, we can prove that it's related to quantized whole conductance. This is a way to integrate that we get an integral quantized number, which is called the Chen number. But Chen number is defined for the whole many-body system. If for all possible values of theta x, theta y, the, there's the gap does not close, then this is an integer. To this understanding of topological environment actually is closely related to Laughlin's argument in 81. Namely, we consider a cylindrical surface, and we insert automatically a unit flux through the hole of the cylinder. From gauge invariance, we know that when the flux is about to change from zero to one flux quantum, the system has to be back to the Burke state. The system, the Burke system, has to come back to itself. So the Arnoff, so one flux quantum is the Arnoff bond period because of gauge invariance. So if the Burke state returns to the original ground state, which is supposed to be unique, then during this process, the assertion is that there must be an integral number of electrons transferred from one edge to the other edge, and we get the integer from the Hall effect. When the fractional quantum Hall effect was discovered, one argument for it is that we have fractionally charged quasar particles. However, if we consider the topological argument, we may still feel puzzled. How come a topological number in this case can become fractional? So Tao, who was a postdoc of Dallas at that time, and I at that time proposed the possible existence of degenerate ground state on a cylindrical or a torus topology. The point here is that after adiabatically threading a unit magnetic flux, gauge invariance only requires that the energy spectrum may change. But a ground state may go to another ground state, which not necessarily goes back to the original state. When this happens, then we need to thread an integral multiple of flux quanta to bring the Burke ground state back to the original state. So Then during this process, an integral number of electrons are transported. So then the average Hall conductance in one flux, in a period with one flux quantum, can be fractional. When this proposal was proposal first appeared, I had a very interesting argument with Hobart. At that time, I remember it was in Aspen. Hobart and I spent one afternoon, okay, in his office. He showed me which his calculations, which had not been published, okay? He did it on his field. He told me, this one, you can see the beast ground state. Another one, he said that, yeah, all calculations on sphere, there's only one unique ground state. Then I argue that for a sphere, you cannot measure the whole conductance. You need to punch a hole. So in this case, I said, yeah, the situation may be different. At that time, he did not believe it. He said that punching one hole, two holes, cannot affect the whole system.
Hey, you have a question?
Yes.
To make our chair happy, so do you think we should put this name onto the last line? The K matrix?
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry, I'm right. 89, actually. 90, yeah. 90, yes, also. Me also had a paper. Sorry, yeah. So numerical calculation shows that on sphere, it's the ground state is unique. A little bit later, actually, a group in Indiana actually has shown the degenerate ground state on torus. Then Duncan told me that he thinks that he thought that this degeneracy is trivial because it's related to single mass degree freedom and so on.
It's trivial and it's not trivial.
Finally, when the newspaper in 89, mm-hmm. using the transient effect theory or alternatively use magnetic translation operator for a uniform system, can prove the ground state degeneracy for torus in any high genus system. So after that, everybody agreed the ground state degeneracy can be
about half an hour.
Okay, I should accelerate. Depend on topology. Of course, non-trivial topology now is still hard to realize, but however, maybe one day the techniques in condensed matter experiments could do it. Of course, now we know there are nanotubes, which are tubes. So the point here is that we want to have the size of the tube actually big. So another possibility is about the graphene. I don't know whether it's possible one day for graphene to make it like
a nanotube.
Yeah, but the size is not a nano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More difficult would be to have it lying on one of those. Maybe the magnetic field.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Maybe
true.
The nanotora
yeah.
can be made, but in one of those lying.
Yeah. also the K matrix formulation, yeah, and also need 1Z, 4H, and so on, and also need, they can use it to discuss it, yeah. So, topology dependent the ground state degenerates. Also, it's well known to use Laughlin with function is ground state. This is with function for the whole. Here Z represents the complex coordinates of the Quasar Hall. These small z's are Lacan coordinates. Okay, the capital Z actually viewed as a parameter by moving this Z around a closed loop on the plane by Barry Fay's argument. It can be shown that we should assign fractional charge to the Quasar Hall. Fractional statistics of quasar particles in the Laughlin space have been first suggest in a hierarchy in the stability argument. Later, Robert Schrieffer Wilczek used the Barry Fay's argument again to argue for the fractional statistics. Namely, we consider Laughlin wave function for two quasar holes with positions of quasar particles as parameters. Then we automatically move one quasar particle around another. Again, we can calculate the Barry Fay's and view this process as exchanging the two quasar particles twice, the Barry Fay's, fractional Barry Fay's. That the quasar particles should satisfy fractional exchanging statistics. Classify or to see, now, what's interesting is that when conformal field theory first appeared in string theory, there were discussions of classification of conformal field theory. At that time, I feel I don't like this term. I say, this sounds like mathematics. This is shenanigans, classification, and so on. This is a particle physics point of view. But later, then I realized that in condensed matter physics, perhaps this is a good thing because in condensed matter laboratories, many new techniques may be developed to create many new systems. So if we know what kind of thing could be made in advance, that would be helpful to experimentalists. So now I'm not against use the classification. Okay, so of course, in old days, for abelian topological orders, one way is the many-body wave function for single seed or even for multi-sheet and so on. Later, this is one of the major methods for studying the not even okay, so the early attempt to classify abelian fractional quantum Hall state effective transcendence theory, multiple abelian transcendence theory, K theory formulation, again, I should add Nick here. Together with some Japanese physicists in the early 90s, we developed some method to use a break group and gauge invariants. The basic point is to start with any quasar particles. For the many-body wave function approach, they start from the many electron. So this approach is different from these two. My hope is that this method, in the near future, could be generalized to describe non-abelian spectrum. So this approach here, in certain sense, is more like in particle physics. We know that the particle exists, so we try to have some algebraic description. For the relations between anions and Bray group, we know that Wills have been named to propose a toy model for anions, which are flux charge composite. And when we exchange two particles, they are enough Bohm phases for one particle in the field of a flux tube, and the other charge in the flux tube in the field of flux tube of the other. So the exchange phase actually depends on Q times phi charge times flux, which can be arbitrary. So in 94, I propose a systematic algebraic. 84, sorry. 84. Braid group for this one. Namely, we know that for braid group on a plane, we can exchange two particles along passes which do not enclose other particles, which we call it as sigma I, counterclockwise. Yeah, then we have the following well-known relation. In particular, this one later is named by algebraists, by physicists, by the Lemaître equation. Although originally, the Lemaître equations are not for Bray group. Originally, the Lemaître equation contains some parameter for the individual model, but in the Bray group, we don't have spectral parameter. So for one-dimensional representation from this one, we can see that for all sigma, we can represent it by a phase factor with theta for any I. And we allow sigma I squared not equal to 1. If it is equal to 1, actually, the Bray group becomes the computation group. Although usually the anions, even for abelian anions, are formulated by considering two particle case. Actually, I'd like to emphasize that actually three anion case actually is crucial. This is why the Bray relation actually appears. The problem here is that when we say we change two particles for the three anion case, we need to distinguish between two cases. The changing has encloses the third particle or not. If it does not enclose the third particle, is e to I theta. If it encloses the third anion, actually, it's e to I times 3 theta. So originally, actually, I was bothered by this factor very much, namely how the exchange phase dependent on the path, actually homotopy class of path. So I see it's easy to see actually by permuting coordinates in the function, two-dimensional coordinates, it doesn't work. Also, if we try a dagger minus theta, a dagger A equal to something, also it does not work because the path dependence is not incorporated. So finally, I came up with the path integral method to keep track of the past pendings. Later, I learned, of course, from mathematicians, they may have known this a long time ago, but we do not need to consider two real coordinates. We can consider weight complex coordinates and assume that's the same. Only depends on when. Only on complex coordinates, then the sort of the monopoly picture will give us the past dependence. Okay, so break group, the connection of break group between the Enneon statistics and and the break group already told you that the system has the property somehow to probe the topology of the surface. It lives on. So in 85, actually, Dallas and I had a paper for the simplest case of a sphere. In that case, we have the same set of generators and change for each pair. However, there's one more relation among these generators is given as this. Actually, the left-hand side represents we move one particle surrounding all particles. if on a plane, you know, this exchange phase from the right-hand side from the left-hand side can be altered. But however, on a sphere, actually, we can shrink this one on the other side of the sphere to a point. So the face must be one. This gives us this relation. Then we notice that there is a constraint between the number of anions and the anion statistics. This formula. What's interesting is that n minus 1 appears. It's not n. On a torus, we will get EI theta n 1. So this 1, actually, or minus 1, is later called by Chardin as shift. Okay. So the shift, actually, this is the simplest case for the existence of shift on the which is, again, topologic dependent. Okay, so in 1990, together with my collaborators, we considered the relationship of a brain group on cylinder or annulus. What's new is that in this case, we have more generators. In addition to a change a pair of particles, we can move one particle around a non-shrinkable loop. Okay, these generators we call row J. Then there are more relations between rows and sigmas. Okay, this one is particularly useful. So there are more generators in break group on a cylinder and more relations. If we consider the one-dimensional representation on a cylinder, then you can see that we are allowed to introduce a face here. And this face can be integrated as and Arnoff Born flux, okay, not necessarily a flux quantum. And rho j has a j dependence on both j and theta. Two theta appears here because of the last relationship here. Okay, we have rho j, sigma من جسد مجرد روجه نفس روجه تحصوان Physically, this is easy to understand from the annulus. Okay, so then we can easily design anion hopping rules on a cylinder. They have, if the anion is sit on the side here, we attach a flux tube from the, a square close to it, then we have a flux tube theta going this way and two theta going this way. So this flux tube means that when I have, when anion hop across the flux tube, an electron phase is 10. This part is 2 theta to satisfy this rule, 2 theta here, okay. So we can put anions on a cylinder. However, there is a positive for the bottom period of quasi particle due to gauge invariance, because if we consider the one-dimensional representation, we can find that the Arnold Bohm period is completely determined by the charm of the quasi particle. However, we know that in the real system, the constituents are electrons. Electrons may have a bigger charm, for example, n times of the quasi particle charm. Then the Arnold Bohm period becomes the other way. The Arnold Bohm period of quasi particle becomes bigger than the Arnold Bohm period of the constituents. So how to incorporate this into the Brave group formalism? So this is a part of how to get a smaller Arnold Bohm period for the fractional charge quasi particle. The answer is that we need to have degenerate states for quasi particles. Suppose we have n degenerate states of quasi particles, then this problem does not exist. The quasi particle system now can have a smaller Arnold Bohm period. So to an analytic proof actually is to add an m by n matrix here and of this form. Namely, when one anion go around the cylinder once, the state, the Bohm state actually does not come back to itself, okay? So we need to go many times to bring the state back to itself. So then we have a smaller gauge. Then we can see that the spectral flow actually gives us a smaller. So for example, if we have theta equal to pi over 5 and the E star is a third of the chart, in this diagram we can see that we have three states. However, when we go for one flux quantum, this state does not back to itself. However, another state becomes has the same energy as the original one. In the thermodynamic limit, of course, these three states should become degenerate. So in this example, we can see that the ground state degenerates actually is determined by fractional charge, because here the denominator of the statistic denominator of fractional charge is different, but the system has three times smaller Arnoff bomb period for the quasar energy. Okay, then we can go on to consider the break group on a torus. Actually, Innerson has have done this before our paper. In the torus case, we have two translation operators for any along a non-contractible loop, because my staff will know that there are two homology bases of two cycles. Berman actually have long been work out the relations between the generators. So to get a representation, actually, is see that the one-dimensional representation is not enough. We can still have one-dimensional representation for the exchange generators, but however, to add these translation generators, we need to have a higher dimensional matrix. And these relations can be satisfied by any Hopping rules on a torus. This was worked out by two groups here. Okay, so actually, fast. So in last decade, it has been observed that actually in other systems, especially the fractional lights, okay. There is a D here, liquids, such as the frustrated spin liquids. There exists situation in which quasar particles are bosons and the fermions, this particle number. with particle number be fractional lights, actually this thing are called Lissons. In the fluid. And the ground state, the connection between the ground state degeneracy and the genus in the two cases are very different. Suppose the fractional particle number is given by P over Q with PQ co-prime. So in the Laughlin fractional Kolmogorov states, we know that ground state degeneracy is this denominator raised to power g on a torus, g is equal to 2. But in the fractional light,
it's 1 on the torus. P is 1.
Oh, right, g is 1, sorry. G is 1, right, okay. Cindy, yeah. On sphere, g is equal to 0, okay, yeah, g equal to 1. However, for the, this was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, last time. This one should be Q squared, so power G. Okay, yeah. So there is a question, we should have G, here also wrong. Q or Q squared? Q or Q squared raised to power G. Okay, so this tells that, there may have no connection between the fractional charge and statistics.
Question?
In that case, the ground state degeneracy actually changes. Right.
Yeah, just back to the Q squared case. So for the fractional pharmacological chiral, for the fractionized, is it chiral or non-chiral?
Non-chiral.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Right. Okay. Alright, okay, so, yeah.
You have about 20, you have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I do 15 or 5 minutes, yeah. So, the way to see more possibilities, we need to have a more general framework to describe the system. So, for example, we consider the torus. We produce the so-called large gauge deformations, which relate to inserted flux, automatically changing it from one from zero to one plus quantum. Mathematically, this is called a large gauge transformation. We call it Ux and Uy. Then we notice that this U and the rho should satisfy the relationship like this. And Ux and the tau I, they do not commute. There is a phase factor related to the fractional charge. The reason is that we first insert flux, then we go along the non-shrink loop. The particle will acquire the enough bond phase. However, I first go around this without the flux, then I insert the flux. Of course, the particle does not have, this process does not have the bond phase. So we have a commutation relation like this. So an important observation is that we notice that actually if we have this conjugation, actually the new generators, okay, conjugated by this large gauge transformations, satisfy the same break group relation. So this tells us that these Ux, Uys are the so-called automorphism of the break group on the torus. Let us consider the abelian topological case. Maybe we assume that quasi particle statistics is abelian, is proportional to a unit matrix. Then the break group relation should give us a result like this. Namely, the J dependence of the tau operators should be like this. Rho also like this. But Tx is the same for all J. And Ty is the same for all rho J. So actually, we get two operators, which does not depend on J. So they are defined for the many-body Hilbert space. Then from the break group relation, we can see that Tx, Ty do not commute this. So we have the fractional statistics that appears here. Okay, then for the, if we assume fractional charge, we have these relationships between U and T. To close the algebra, we still need the relationship between Ux, Uy, okay? We are motivated by the existence of topological invariant. We assume that at most they differ by this factor. So actually, this page is our main result. Namely, we have a closed discrete algebra, which we propose to describe abelian topological order. So we have Tx, Ty, Ux, Uy, use these commutation relations. They are related to fractional statistics, fractional charge. Later we'll see the non-commutativity parameter is related to topological invariant. Okay, so from this algebra, we can prove a theorem that the minimum ground state degeneracy is determined by the denominator of theta and the fractional charge. So So the result is n, which is a denominator here, then we have curly q squared. Curly q actually is n and q are not co-prime, we rewrite them as a ratio of co-prime, and q here is this q. So this is the minimum state. Then we can see that our theorem can incorporate all known cases. If theta equal to pi over n and e star equal to n, e over same n, then we can get the plus explicit matrix representation of T and U, and S and R are n by n matrices which satisfy the usual relationship. And in this case, UX, UY, we have a fifth factor here, which tell us that fractional whole conductance is 1 over n. Okay, there are more examples. If theta equals 0 or pi, namely the particle boson and the fermions, we still have fractionalization of particle number with denominator q, and the minimum quantum state degeneracy and torus is q squared with this implicit. There are more examples, okay? We can consider for q and n co-prime and other cases. So this tells that indeed for the topological, abelian topological order, there are more possibilities. Of course, the physical question is how these new possibilities can be realized, at least in some model system or eventually in laboratory. So a theorem which generalized Niels Aulus Wolf theory is that if lambda is fractional, then the denominator L here is related to the denominator of the whole conductance. Okay, so this is the last transparency. I want to ask two, okay? The relationship with non-abelian topological order, which has been talked a lot in this workshop. The well-known example is Moore and Reed, later Rezai, and the Moore, and the some candidate states, maybe halves or 12 fifths, and so on. They relate to higher dimensional representation of great group, and so on. And recently I learned from Jun Han that the so-called modular tensor category actually should provide a general description of non-abelian anions. To generalize our algebra to non-abelian anions, we still need to introduce more structures and more specific structure, like symmetries to accommodate rich, to accommodate more interesting rich physics. When I write down the symmetries, then last night it just came to me that Jun Han has done some work about symmetries. So the point is that whether the symmetries I'm talking about here, at least in the abelian case, has some relation with Wang's symmetry. One relationship is the relationship between the modular S matrix and the two translations on torus along non-shrinkable loops. Another one is the relationship between the flux insertion operators and Wang's talk, because these operators may suffer and appealing solved. Okay. So much for the talk. chapter in the history of science, mathematics, physics, and computer science become interwoven together to create something new, which if realized may change society about the information position. Thank you very much.